Tam Bradley finds herself all alone this morning. Sometimes I feel so insecure. She refuses quite a lot to talk to journalists, turns and walks away all by herself with journalists shouting questions at her. So Karen decided to have a little tea party today. I guess the timing's great, as this country cannot form a government and the Secretary of State can't really get them to form a government. So she thought she would surround herself with the local politicians, who essentially told her to get stuffed. They're not going anywhere near her today. So there'll be plenty of tea and crumpet and biscuits up at the NIO. But no politician will go anywhere near the Secretary of State. The TV leader, Jim Allister, with us this morning. So she finds herself alone, surrounded by her tea party, which is empty, Mr. Allister.
Yes, this is, was a wholly tack-handed operation from the Secretary of State, not the first. But for my own part, there are no circumstances in which I was going to go to a drinks reception with the Secretary of State, because this is the Secretary of State who has refused to meet me since she came to office from the very first week.
That makes two of us.
Well, there you go. But I suppose I could make the point, I've had tens of thousands of people vote for me in the interim, and she still refuses to meet me, which is a slight not upon me so much as upon those who support me. And I find it appalling that because she doesn't want to hear the message that the political process in which she's engaged is a farce and a con, because she doesn't want to hear that message and to have it explained to her why this dormant would never work, she simply refuses to meet me. So when I then get an invitation to a drinks reception...
Did you get one?
It came into my email box, and it was very swiftly deleted, because if she's not prepared to talk politics with me, then I'm certainly not prepared to go to a drinks reception with her.
Well, the Secretary of State thought it would be good to get MLAs from around Northern Ireland together for a little bit of tea, and you like your buns and stuff like that, and mix with others and try to just get you all friendly again.
Well, I think the Secretary of State should be addressing why Stormont isn't working, why it will never work as presently constructed, and setting about finding arrangements that will work. And that means and requires getting rid of mandatory coalition, getting rid of the vetoes that delivers, delivering us from the ridiculous situation that a party that doesn't want Northern Ireland to work can hold everyone to ransom and make sure there is no government. And because you have a Secretary of State who won't address that issue and instead engages in a farcical talks process to see can she patch it all back together again, knowing it will never last, she then thinks, oh, wouldn't it be nice if those stumped to have this drinks reception, as I say, totally cack-handed.
How did the invite read? Like, what did it tell you would happen today? Would there be a band there? Would there be any singers there? What was going to happen at this tea party?
Oh, I don't know how extravagant it was going to be, Stephen, but no, it didn't reveal any of those details. It simply was a pretty bold invitation, as I recall, to the event. Not one that I was ever going to accept.
Where was it going to be?
Stormont House.
The reality is, though, the reality is, Jim, that you're in the minority, aren't you? Because the majority, the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland want local devolution here, want a government here. You're out on your own, which is probably why you get so few votes.
Just be that disparaging. Just a few weeks ago, 90,000 people voted for me. But I do want devolution. But I want devolution that works, and I'm not prepared to con people into pretending that something that has failed and failed and failed again is ever going to work. And I identify for the people why it doesn't work. Because to work, it depends on a party that doesn't want Northern Ireland to work.
It's easy.
And have a government without them.
It's easy,
and that's
Jim.
Why this system will never work.
But, Jim, it's easy to identify why things don't work. It's a lot tougher to get things to work. That's what the big parties are trying to do. That's what the Secretary of State's trying to do.
The big parties are trying to get the unworkable to work. They're trying to find enough sticky plaster to put back together that which has failed time and time again without addressing the question, why is it failing? And the answer to why is it failing is because it depends for success on a party that doesn't want Northern Ireland to work. It denies to Northern Ireland the right everyone else has to have a government of the willing, to have an opposition. It denies all of that and therefore says you can only have a government if you have Sinn Féin, who doesn't want Northern Ireland to work.
Who have about 250,000 votes. Who have a quarter of a million votes, Jim.
Yes, but we're talking about why the system doesn't work. Everyone could vote for this system. It still wouldn't work. Because at its heart, it's a party that doesn't want Northern Ireland to work. It's as simple as that. So, don't say that I don't want a system that works. I'm the very person who says, let's get a system that works, but this system will never work. Only a coalition of the willing will ever work. But if the Secretary of State was interested in that, then I'd be very happy to advance a process such as that. But she's not. And indeed, the other parties aren't. And maybe they didn't go because they didn't want facing the scorn of engaging in a drinks party when they have failed to deliver any form of devolution.
OK. Jim Allister, thank you very much indeed. Here's the number today, 03030 80 55 55. So I guess there are quite a few questions for us all this morning to hear from you. The public today. What do you think about the timing of this drinks reception? It comes shortly after the Secretary of State refused to implement compensation for victims of historical abuse. You've heard all of that play out over recent weeks on the Nolan Show, has turned her back on journalists as they're asking questions of her about that subject, about victims of abuse and other subjects too. The Simon Coveney came up from Dublin and stood and took questions from journalists for 10 minutes. The British Secretary of State turned around, walked away and said she wasn't doing anything. And then she puts on a little drinks reception in June for the selected few, for the elected representatives. Having said that, she's trying to get these local parties all talking to each other. What do you think? 03030 80 55 55. The commentator Brendan McGrew with us today. Morning, Brendan.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. And the journalist Ruth Dudley Edwards. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning to you. Well, whoever's advising her and advised her to put this together, is it a PR disaster or will people think she's doing her best, Ruth?
Well, I have to say, Stephen, that one thing I have to give her credit for is that she seems to have united most of the people that I ever come across in Northern Ireland of all political persuasions. They all think she's the most useless Secretary of State ever. She's quite astonishing. I understand why she got the job. She was being rewarded by Theresa May for being a loyalist. And I think what Theresa May wanted her to do was nothing. And she certainly has followed her instructions. I've been told that she spent only about 30 nights in Northern Ireland and all the time that she's been Secretary of State. So she seems to want to do nothing. She's occasionally told she's got to bring all the parties together and get a solution. I have no idea what she does when she's locked up with them. But the fact that she allows Simon Coveney to make the running is in public sort of tells us a lot. She seems to be completely uninterested apart from anything else. I mean, what Jim Allister was saying about her not listening or not wanting to hear him, she doesn't seem to want to hear anyone. She's completely detached. It's quite bizarre.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job. It's a terrible job. But normally they make an effort. Now, I think, actually, personally, I think the most dangerous ones are the energetic ones who think they know it all and haven't a clue, like Peter Hain. But so in that sense, she's not dangerous. But she might as well be replaced by a fluffy toy.
Brendan?
It's ridiculous. And how they did something as stupid in Northern Ireland offices decide on having a party. I don't get it. I don't know whose idea that was. But, I mean, would she even talk to the people who came to it? I don't know. I'm sorry. I am actually stunned by this most recent development. Quite extraordinary. I don't know if she wants to hang on. on to the job with the new Secretary of State, and she was trying to show that she actually occasionally did do something. I have not the faintest idea, but you know, the parties showed their absolute unity in relation to her by not going.
Well, Sinn Féin made the first move, Brendan. They pulled out first, and then others followed.
Yeah, the drinks reception was a bad idea. It was badly handled, and the response to it was equally bad. And once one party pulled out, all of the other parties were obviously going to pull out. One couldn't be seen to go and take part in the drinks reception if some of the others had said no. But now, I can see the rationale for such an event, Stephen. If there was a better political climate, if the talks had been underway for a number of months, if there were positive soundings coming out there, there's a rationale there that says, you know, let's relax together and spend a few hours chilling out and building personal relationships. And we know the importance of personal relationships when it comes to doing political deals. But the timing of this was just all wrong. Even the wording of the invite was just all wrong. And yeah, unfortunately for Karen Bradley, it does seem that, you know, event after event, decision after decision that she takes or refuses to take, her standing just gets lower and lower each time. Not meeting Jim Allister, no matter what you think of Jim Allister, he does have a mandate and he does have something to say. And I'm surprised when he said this morning that she had refused to meet with him since she became Secretary of State. She should be meeting Jim Allister, as she should be meeting every elected politician in Northern Ireland. And you know what I find, on her behalf, kind of frustrating? Around the time that when Theresa May first presented her withdrawal agreement, Karen Bradley went to bat for her very publicly. And in that time, she did do press conferences, she did take questions on the hoof, and she actually showed herself quite capable of answering a question, even a left-field question, of thinking on her feet and coming up with a decent answer to it. So if a politician is going to stand at a press conference or stand before a microphone and give an update on the talks, as Simon Coveney does very eloquently, I think it's almost unbelievable that a politician who's been around the block a few times isn't capable of taking the questions which you can reasonably expect to receive and come up with the answer in advance. So why she deliberately chooses not to do it sends out a very, very poor signal from very poor Secretary of State.
Well, she did take questions at the Balmoral show recently, didn't she? From some journalists. Her own Nicola Weir was up there firing questions at her.
Yes.
What would the optics have looked like today, Ruth Dudley Edwards, if the likes of Sinn Féin and the DUP, and they all refused to go, but if they had been, you know, up there drinking wine, drinking orange juice, whatever, a little bit of nibbles, Karen standing there, in the current circumstances, what would those optics have said, Ruth? Like, who thought this was a good idea?
It was an exercise in hypocrisy on everybody's part, and I think the parties are aware of that. It would have looked ridiculous, actually. I mean, that's the problem. It would have looked... People would have laughed. People would have made lots of good jokes about it. It would have looked absolutely absurd. They can hardly bear to look at each other, let alone speak to each other. And the notion that they're all great... There always has been this notion, actually, between the governments from the very beginning of the peace process that somehow if you get all these people together and give them a few drinks, they'll agree to anything. But it isn't like that. It really isn't like that. It was an extraordinary exercise in naivety. I mean, quite apart from anything else, Stephen, it's a perfectly basic thing that if you say, might it be a nice idea to have a party, you inquire delicately behind the scenes if they'd come. And you certainly ask Sinn Féin and DUP first, behind the scenes, if they'd come. And not until you're sure they would, do you go ahead. So even if it was a good idea, they'd have checked that one out. I don't know what's going on in the NIO. I've lost all grasp of understanding the reason behind the thinking. It's very interesting what Brendan said about her being capable on the withdrawal agreement. But she presumably had a brief that had been really given to her on behalf of the Prime Minister. Now, the Prime Minister has no interest in Northern Ireland, as was evident in the fact that she ran happily with the backstop without any idea of it being a problem. So she doesn't have anything to put down on tablets of stone to give Karen Bradley about what she should be doing, except solve it.
Let's see what we're saying at home this morning. Let me bring in Anne and Moira, Brendan. Back to you one second. Morning, Anne.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm Anne Morgan from Moira.
Yes.
Schools can't get toilet rolls for their children. People are bringing toilet rolls into the school to help the schools out. And they're running a free drinks party up in Stormont.
Well, it's cancelled now.
Well, it's cancelled now because nobody would go. But if they had gone, they'd have had a great wee party. And what they're doing is they're delaying these talks and they're running them out until the summer recess. They'll all go away with big wage packets and they'll have a lovely holiday at our expense.
Well, sure, Michelle O'Neill and Arlene Foster.
See, Karen Bradley. Karen Bradley was put into that job and she didn't know the first thing about Northern Ireland. On her own agreement, she agreed that she didn't know. She didn't know about nationalists, she didn't know about unionists. And the girl was just lost. She said she had to go away and educate herself. And that's what the British government sent over to us as a Minister of Home Affairs. So there's Stephen in Furness. And see, before the RHI scandal, 6 weeks before that, the MLAs were complaining they had to pay for their own coffee up in Stormont.
Were they?
Oh, yes, they were. There was a whole kick-up because they were paying for their own coffee. And I can tell you, Stephen, I don't know what way this country's going. I don't know, does the British government think, well, it's the Irish, we're all morons? So, there you have it.
What's the solution? Because we've seen this week.
It would have been time to run a party, Stephen, when this thing was all settled. But certainly, like a free drinks party, and people can't get toilet rolls in schools for their children? Like, I ask you. Come off it, like, that's a bit strong, isn't it?
But
what do you think, Stephen?
Well, if you look what happened this week, so Michelle and Arlene, they're out, not agreeing with each other, they're out...
They're
out disagreeing with each other again. They're out saying how they can't agree with each other and what is a red line and what's not a red line and all that malarkey.
Well, they should have put the Irish Bill and the Gay Rights Bill to one side and carried on running this country. And what they should have done was then go back and keep debating it. Instead of that, they all got up and walked out. And why wouldn't they? With full wage packets, I would love to be able to do that. Nobody ever gave me anything. But I can tell you, Stephen, like, it's a sad situation. I never thought I'd hear myself, but I think we should all go back to direct rule and at least something good might come out of all this country.
And thank you, Frank and Enniskillen. Morning, Frank.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. Look, just so that you're all aware, if you're deciding whether to pick up the phone this morning, the NIO will be listening to this. They'll be listening to the public, all of you this morning, to get a gauge of where this is all at. They've got all of their advisors who tune into the programme every day. So, Frank, tell them how you feel about this. How do you feel about the drinks party? How do you feel about the Secretary of State? How do you feel about the state of Northern Ireland under her watch?
Well, does Karen Bradley not realise that the MLAs are treating her the same way they're treating us at the minute? Just put them out in the cold. We've had a government now. We haven't had a government for 2.5 years. And Karen Bradley just seems to sit back. Oh, let's do the tea parties.
Is this not a distraction, though? Should the responsibility not be on the local leaders in Northern Ireland rather than Karen Bradley getting lambasted?
Well, they've turned their back on the people of Northern Ireland. They don't want to speak to each other. But yet, every time there's a vote going on, we go out and vote for the same ones.
Frank, thank you. Sam in Londonderry. Morning, Sam.
Stephen, democracy is dead in Northern Ireland. Quite simply. If somebody can veto what a majority has voted for, therefore, that's not democracy. That is a form of backdoor communism.
Sam, thank you. Brendan Mulgrew, what should happen next? How do we improve things? What's next? And I repeat again, what about the responsibility of the local politicians to get things sorted, rather than the Secretary of State getting all the criticism for things not being sorted?
That is where the responsibility lies. And unfortunately, you know, about 10 days or 2 weeks ago, you began to get some, you know, interesting positive noises coming out of the talks. Maybe we're going to get somewhere. People were engaged in some serious discussion. That all went downhill in the middle of last week, unfortunately. And It is up to the Secretary of State, though, and to the Irish government as well, to convene a set of talks with a proper context and structure so that instead of parties being gathered around today for tea and buns or wine and canapes, they would have been around the table having discussions. The last three Secretaries of State we've had, Karen Bradley, James Brokenshire, Theresa Villiers, unfortunately have all met the same prototype. Hands off, do nothing, say nothing. And I have to say, we're a long way from Mo Mullen, Peter Mandelson and Paul Murphy type of Secretary of State. So yes, it's up to local parties, but they do need structure and they do need facilitation, and that's what's lacking. And I think Karen Bradley is probably on her last lap now as Secretary of State, given what's happening on the wider political scene within the Tory party and changes that are inevitable and bound to follow the election of a new leader. But when she does go, she will leave very little to look back on, I'm afraid to say.
But what about Ruth Dudley Edwards? Let's take the two big parties and the leaders at the top, Michelle O'Neill and Arlene Foster. Are they showing ability, the ability to compromise and negotiate and find a way through for the Northern Irish people?
Well, a lot of it depends on how they're reading their own grassroots, doesn't it? You know, that's what's driving it in so many ways. And the DUP grassroots isn't going to go along with any kind of compromise if they're having to address and accept the Sinn Féin agenda about, you know, the First Lady who rang up from Moira. I mean, I agree with her on this, that the contentious issues should be parked and the party should get on with doing the things that are crippling the country at the moment. Crippling.
What's
Northern
crippling
Ireland
the country, in your view?
That's what I would think should be done.
What is crippling the country, in your
interim,
view? What type of things are
crippling? To be depressing about this, I mean, it doesn't matter what happens in the next couple of months. Everything depends on who the new Prime Minister is.
And what type of things are crippling the country, in your view?
Well, I mean, the very fact that basic decisions can't be made. You know, the basic administrative decisions, the things that the civil service doesn't have the power to do. That's the problem. I mean, in the end, you can argue that direct rule might be the answer, but I have to say the notion of direct rule under Karen Bradley makes me feel quite weak. No, I mean, there are the decisions, the everyday decisions that Stormont was there to do and can't do, and the civil service is in limbo, in a completely impossible position. So we're in a strange sort of miasma of paralysis almost, while with the instruction that everything's to be wonderful and people are to be brought together, the circumstances are there, aren't there? And now, I mean, Brexit has changed everything. And now, with a change of Prime Minister coming, Karen Bradley isn't going to be doing anything, I mean, even compared to what she hasn't been doing up to now, if you know what I mean. Everything depends. Of the likely runners, they're all going to have a totally different view on Northern Ireland, those that are interested.
Well, there's a statement. Karen Bradley won't be doing anything compared to what she hasn't been doing up to now. Brian and Anderson's Town, Marty and Jim, and lots of you calling. My goodness, you want to talk about this morning. Marty next. Morning, Marty.
Good morning, Stephen.
You're from the group Survivors Together.
I am indeed.
And you've had meetings with Karen Bradley, right? But there are no results for your group yet or any other victims of historic abuse.
No, nothing, Stephen. She's done nothing. And I've been sitting thinking, and the only party I want to see Karen Bradley have is a farewell party. And I think by people not turning up, politicians not turning up to that party is a signal to say it's time for you to go. We've been saying it for weeks, Stephen. She needs a farewell party. She's done nothing for victims or even people in this country, which aren't victims, are united in one cause. She's done nothing.
Well, that's quite easy for some of the political leaders in this country to say. What have they done? They cannot find compromise to get the power to empower themselves so that they can deliver for you. They're disagreeing. Well, they're finding ways of explaining how they're disagreeing. And politics is about finding agreement. And your local leaders can't find that, Marty.
Well, we did find an agreement when it came to victims. And as I say, we cannot be used. We believe that the politicians have failed victims. We had no other choice but to turn to a Secretary of State for help. We went to them meetings. Stephen, our body language, our whole attitude to people who were so traumatised and abused as children, she had no sympathy. So So I can understand probably why politicians can't work with her. And I told her special advisor when he says, I would like to build a relationship with you. I says, it's like this here. You have failed these people. Look into their eyes. You've failed them. And in fact, we don't want to meet with you again until you have something positive to tell us.
Were you invited to the drinks party?
Stephen, I was invited to a meeting and there was tea and there was water.
No, I mean to this drinks party that was supposed to happen today.
No, we weren't invited. We wouldn't go to any party, as I say. You know, we'd certainly go to any farewell party and drink champagne and be cheerleaders that are leaving this country on the first flight out, by all means. But no way are we going to any party to give this Secretary of State any credit when all she's done is to give this credit to victims of historical abuse.
Marty, thank you. Brendan Mulgrew, do you think that the NIO will care about this type of criticism that they're hearing this morning, or do they just see this as par for the course? This is the type of criticism a Secretary of State gets.
I think that the officials within the NIO will care. You're quite right earlier on when you said that they will be tuned in, and there'll be people up there whose role it is to tune in and to scour the morning papers as well. And they will care. Whether Karen Bradley cares, I hate to say this, but it does seem to me, watching her from a distance, that she doesn't care and seems to just brush off this type of criticism, which is an odd way for a politician whose careers are built on building relationships with people. It's an odd way for such a politician to act or to behave. But, you know, the soundings that are taken from local people, and there are folks within the NIO whose role it is to reflect on the public mood, and hopefully all of that does get fed back into and result in a more positive and a more structured process around trying to get a genuine talks process up and running. The deal which came about in February 2018, that was on the back of a really intensive, hothouse political negotiation involving senior characters from the main parties. Such a process has not been in place in the intervening year and a half. And it's just, without that process, that there's going to be no outcome. And that's the message that the NIO hopefully will take on board.
Okay. Brian and Ruth, thank you very much indeed.